We just left off in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, that there were 18 halachas that were taught in the attic where Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gurion was studying. Two of them were the halachas that we stated in Mishnah Gimel. And in this bonus shiur, we're going to go through all 18 to discuss what they were. They're pretty random. We'll be introduced to a number of concepts. Briefly, we're going to go through each one. We're in the Kahati, towards the very end, where it says, Ushmona asu devarim gozer b'bayom. There are 18 things that were gozer that were enacted on that day. Let's begin. Before the Gemara, like is explained in the Gemara, Tisha, nine of them are devarim haposlim es hatruma, are things that are related to posling, to invalidating truma. Truma is a portion that's given strictly to the kahanim, to the priests, to eat. And there are nine things that will invalidate this truma. We know that it has to be kept sacred. And the laws of tuma and tara, impurity and purity, they're intricate. There's a lot of different details that go according to them. But we're going to briefly run through the different things that would invalidate the truma. Number one, ha'ochel ochel shurishon l'tuma. A person that eats food that is a first degree of tuma. We're going to see what this means. Number two, ha'ochel ochel shusheni l'tuma. A person eats food which is a second degree to tuma. Number three, hashosa mashkim tamei. One who drinks liquid which is tamei. So these are three laws. What's this mean? Kol echad me'elu. Each one of these laws, each one of these circumstances, postal truma b'mago. If a person ate food that was a first degree of tuma, or he ate food that was a second degree of tuma, or he drank a liquid that was tamei, if he goes ahead and then touches truma, he passels, he invalidates the truma. Why? Because we assume that maybe he's going to put the truma in his mouth while these defiled foods are in his mouth, and then it would make the truma tamei. So technically, by just touching it, he doesn't merely make a tamei. But if he would put it in his mouth along with these other foods that are tamei already, he would make a tamei. Therefore, they made a gzeira, a rabbinic enactment, that you can't even touch truma in any of these three scenarios. Number four, habarosh v'ruba b'mayim shuvim la'achar shtavl b'tumaso b'bayom. If a person goes to the mikvah, he tovels, he dips himself, he becomes pure, and then afterwards he puts his head and most of his body into mayim shuvim. Mayim shuvim is like, you know, shower water. So we're going to say that he's actually tamei, which is, sounds kind of odd, but we're going to explain where this came from. Number five, this is also related to it. Tar shegamar shenafel olav shloshim lugim mayim shuvim. A pure person, regular guy, that had three lug, a certain measure of water that fell onto him from like a shower or a bath, mayim shuvim, not ocean water, not a mikvah, he also will become tamei. Why? What's the connection here? Atambe'il, the reason in these, in those days, it wasn't like nowadays, you had the fancy state-of-the-art mikvahs with the heated floors and the filter running through the system, the diving board. You know, it was a totally different scenario. So they used to go in these caves and the water smelled. But you notice they would want to rinse themselves off afterwards from the smelly water with regular water. And what happened was, since they were doing this, Kava on a consistent basis, they began to say, "Lo me'am aros mitarim, ela ma'am hashuvim mitarim." People started saying, "Hey, it's not the cave waters that's natural that's really making you pure. It's the shower afterwards that makes you pure." But we know that's not true. What's making the person pure is really the dipping in the mikvah, not the head and shoulders shampoo shower wash afterwards. But what happened was because the cave water was so sour and gross, people started to get mixed up. So they said, you know what? In order that people shouldn't totally just forget about going to a mikvah and only just, you know, go to the shower when they have to go to the mikvah, they said if you're going to shower right after the mikvah, then you're going to become tamei. Or if you're pure and you put such a large amount of water, three lug on your head, you're going to become tamei. Because we want you to remember that it's not these waters that make you pure, it's the mikvah that makes you pure. Moving right along, Vav hasfarim shel kisvei kodesh. So, a sefer of kisvei kodesh, like a Torah or a Navi, shekein noagam hayil tzniyah uchlem shel truma itzel sefer Torah, hol shneim kodesh. So they used to do is they say, hey, Truma's holy and a Sefer is holy. Let me keep them both in the same room next to each other. But what happened was that, you know, food attracts, you know, worms, maggots, rats, mice, and they would come because there was food there. And then once they would, you know, eat at the food, they would also eat at the cloth, at the parchment of the Torah. And even though they had good intentions to keep them together because they're both holy, but at the end of the day, it was, you know, deteriorating this farm they had. The mice, they would come and be mafsid, they would eat away at the farm. So said, you know what? Hilbach Gazu, she has farm poisonous truma b'magam. If your person goes ahead and puts a sefer next to truma, because he thinks they're both holy and wants to keep them in a safe place, then believe it or not, if the sefer touches the truma, it'll make the truma tame, defiled. And they did this in order for people to know, don't put your sefer there, because we don't want the mice that's going to come and eat the truma to eat up your sefer. Okay, moving right along. Number 7, Zion. Stam yadayim pulsam satruma. Person, regular hands, if you didn't wash them, and he touches truma, holy food, automatically the truma is tame. Why? Because normally a person's hands are touching their shoes, touching their, you know, different parts of the body that are normally covered, and they could get dirty and smelly. And therefore, generally, unless the person knows he washed his hands, if he touches truma, it's called stam yadayim, he makes a truma pasul. Number 8, ochlem food shnitm ubim mashkim, food that became tame through a liquid. Va'osam ha-mashkim nitm u'mach ma-stam yadayim, and that liquid became tame through stam yadayim. So I mean, someone took his hands, they weren't washed, touched the liquid, made it tame. That liquid then touches the food, it made it tame. So, in this scenario, kol advarim, so we say that the reason is shenagu ben kodem natila. So basically, the food that touches the liquid that was tame also becomes tame. Why? Because kol advarim ha'posel v'satruma mitames amashkim rishon mutuma. Anything that will passel truma, like we just said, regular hands make truma tame. So too, that regular hands will make any kind of liquid also tame. Kol advarim ha'posel is the truma mitames amashkim liot rishon mutuma, makes the liquid into a rishon, first degree of tuma. And then that would make the food tame. Again, gzeira mishumashkim shnitim misharetz. Here the reason is because we are choshesh, we assume that there's going to be liquid that became tame from an actual sharetz, which is a real first degree of tuma, min haTorah, not just on a rabbinic level. And then that would defile the truma on a Torah level. So in order to avoid this liquid from a sharetz on a Torah level, we said even liquid that was touched by regular hands, which is only on a rabbinic level, also is tame to avoid bringing to a Torah level of tuma onto the food. Liquid that became tame from your hands, even though it's only on a rabbinic level, would defile the food as well for the truma of food, because we want to keep the truma as far away from a Torah level of tuma as possible. Number 9, this would be the last of the truma halachos. A kalim, a kli, a utensil, shnitu b'mashkin that was defiled became tame from liquid. V'os b'mashkin nitu b'sharetz, and that liquid had touched a sharetz, a creeping crawly, a worm, creepy crawler insect. So if the kli touched liquid, and that liquid touched a sharetz, sh'af al pisha mashkin him risho tuma, the mashkin, the liquid is a risho, and the first to be the tuma, still, on a Torah level, minatora ainim etamim adam kelim, it cannot make a person or utensils tame, because a person and kelim are not makabel tuma. They cannot receive tuma unless it's from an actual av hatuma, like they touch a dead person, then they become tame. Otherwise, a person and utensils cannot become tame from a second degree, or even a rishon, a first degree. It's got to come from the av, the actual source. It goes source, then first degree, second degree, etc. So here, the Chachamim made a gzeira of a Chachamim gazru aleim shi'tamu kelim, that it should make the kelim tame nonetheless. Why? Gzeira mishum mashke shel zav. Also, a gzeira, lest it comes from the liquid of a zav. A zav is a person that has some kind of discharge, whether it be, you know, it comes from below, but even if it's his own saliva comes out of his mouth, or even his own urine, it has a tumah on it. And that's an av. That's a source of tumma. It's a very, very high degree of tumma. And that would be metame, even a utensil or even a person on a Torah level. So here they went as far as to say that regular liquid that touches a kli, even though it could be just, you know, rabbinic, they make it tame as well. Okay, these are, you know, to learn these more at length, you have to really see the sources, but this is briefly what these nine things are. And the last nine are as follows. Elahim tisha advarma posam truma. We just mentioned were the nine things that defile truma. That's learned in Masechta Zavim, Parakei, Mishnah Yigimol, and you could check there for more detail. Vishar tisha advarma shigazu ham. The rest of the nine things are as follows. Benos kusim metamos merisasan, the daughter of a kusite. These are people that basically corrupted, you know, the Jewish religion. And what we did was, as we said, the daughters of these kusim, they become, they're tame mary susan from their actual beds. Even though they can be like a little kid, like a baby, they have a level of tum on them from the day they're born, because we want to keep them far away from the Jewish people. Number 11, kol davar sheyesh behekefei tevach mevi tumas oel. Normally, in order to have the rules of oel atuma, meaning a oel is a tent, the rule is if you have a dead person in a tent, and then there's a live person in the tent, normally you got to touch the dead person to become tummy yourself. But if you're under the same roof, then the tumma can spread out within the roof and be metame, defile anyone within that room. Now, normally the smallest required measurement is a tefach, which is about a fist wide. That's how small the tents could be already. But what happens if the ohel only has a hakef, a circumference of a tefach, like, you know, like they bring down as an example, like a whip that you use to hit cattle. Round wise, it's a tefach, but it doesn't have a thickness. It's not square wise. So even here, they made a gzera that it'll be a din of oel atuma and be metame somebody, lest a person forget and be in an ohel where there's a tefach of actual thickness from wall to wall. He'll forget about it, and then he'll be over and he'll transgress a Torah level of oel atuma. He says, "V'alfa bishu mina Torah in oel pachas b'tefach." We know that mina Torah you have to have a tefach from wall to wall. Gazu chavam al kol matatlam sheish be'kef tefach. They made a gzeir on all possessions within even a circumference of a tefach. That if an item is in that oel along with a dead person or a dead item, could be even the size of like an egg. It'll be metame, it'll defile the other person or object under that tent. Yud Beis number 12, a person who harvests grapes to press them in a vat. So the liquid that comes out from the grapes become, they have the ability to be machshir, meaning to make something susceptible to tuma. Normally, you have to have some kind of liquid in between to make something tummy. So this liquid will make something susceptible to tumma. But even though you don't need this liquid, normally the rule is you have to want the liquid. If it's a purposeless liquid, then it cannot make something susceptible to tumma. But here, it does make the item susceptible to tumma. Why? Because at the end of the day, the person does want the liquid. Because lest you want to use it to store it in some kind of vat, and use it for some kind of project. So, kiven she'ena mashka holech li'ibu, since at the end of the day, it's not just going in the garbage, nichalo, he wants it, mashka from the Torah, and it would make something susceptible to tuma. So even though, you know, it looks like it's going down the drain, he ends up saving it, and therefore he wants it. And the rule is that you have to want it to make it something qualifying. If it's just something that you don't want, then it can't make something susceptible to tuma. But because he wants it, he needs it for a purpose, it would. Number 13, gedule truma. If you have truma and you plant it, and then it grows another plant, normally, you know, what comes out is something brand new. But here, and it would be chulin, it would be just, you know, something that's not holy, just regular standard food. But here we say that the growth of truma is also truma. And the reason is that gzeira mishum truma shetumeya should be at Cohen, because we're afraid shemishana etzlo adzman zriya yevli deitkala sheichlem betuma. We're afraid that a Cohen might hold truma in his hand until the time of planting, Because he says like this. He says, you know, this truma is tame. I can't eat it. But if I plant it, what grows out from it will be fresh, brand new. And that I can eat because it's not tame anymore. It's a new product. However, we are afraid that until he starts planting it, he might come and take a bite from the truma that he has. And the truma that he has right now is tame. So we say, even if you're going to plant it, what comes out will also be tame. And why do we do this? We do this in order to prevent him from waiting and planting it, which normally the new plant would be tar, because we're afraid he's not going to be able to hold off. And until he comes to plant it, he'll eat from the original item, which is tame. 14. We should hichshuch lo b'derech, if a person is traveling and it's coming close to Shkia, and it's almost Shabbos, and he has his wallet on him. So normally, you could technically walk, you know, less than Dalet Amos, stop, walk less than Dalet Amos, stop, walk less than Dalet Amos, stop, and keep doing that, and you're not really carrying within the Erev. This is something that we're going to explain later on in Mishnayos, but this is like a loophole. So normally you could do that. But in this scenario, we said we don't want you doing that, and it's better to just give your wallet to a Gentile, to a guy who's not keeping Shabbos, and then get it from him afterwards. That's what he's saying over here. Don't do this loophole of that's the gzera. Don't rely on the loophole of walking less than 4 amos, which is roughly 8 feet. So let's say you're walking 7 feet, stopping and repeating that over and over again until you get to your house. Technically, you can do it, but we're saying over here, we'd rather you not do it, and rather just give your wallet to a guy and get it from him after Shabbos. Number 16, ain't pulin la'ar ner. This is what we discussed earlier. Here's our what we've been waiting for. Don't shake out your clothing that has lice to the light of the candle. Ain't koril la'ar ner. Number to Zion. Number 16, don't. I'm sorry, that was 15 and 16. Don't read a sefer to the light of the candle. This is what we discussed earlier, lest you come to tilt the candle because you want more light and you'll be over mavir lighting a fire on Shabbos. 17. Pitam vashmeinam v'yenam ubenoseyam shel goyim asurim v'kol ilu gzera afes hein shekin amru gazu al pitam v'shem yen shmanam shmanam v'shem yenam yenam v'shem noseyam noseyam v'shem v'rezara. Basically, the bread, the oil, the wine, and the daughters of a Gentile are prohibited. Why? Because we're afraid if you're going to eat his bread, even if it has an OU on it, then you're going to come to use his oil. And if you come to use his oil, you might come to drink his wine. And if you come to drink his wine, you might come to marry their daughters. You might come to intermarry, which is bad. And then once you intermarry, you're going to worship idols. So we say stay away from even their bread, their oil, their wine, and their daughters. Number 18. Gazwal tina goy shi metamik azav kadesh lo yehe tina kisrael ragel eslaba veira. Last but not least, even a Gentile kid is tame, just like the laws of a zav, because, again, we don't want kids being next to these goyim. Here they're talking about actually also to cohabit with one another. We don't want Jews generally cohabiting with goyim, and especially here it's talking about a male and a male. So the idea here is that a kid, will also have the character, the deen and the laws of tuma, even though he's just a little kid, in order to keep him far away from a Jew and avoid them from doing sin. And that wraps up the 18 laws that are mentioned here in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Daled.